Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music once again this evening. What a blessing it's been just already just being in this place. If you have your Bibles tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 27, Matthew chapter 27, we're going to be beginning in verse 27 and read down to verse 36 and then jump over to verse 45 down to verse 54. Tonight, after the preaching of the word and invitation, and we're going to be taking the Lord's Supper as a church family. And what a blessing it is for the church to be able to draw closer to the Lord and draw closer to each other by remembering what He did for us. As we're reading here, chapter 27 of the book of Matthew, if you'll stand with me, we're going to be reading the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before there could be a resurrection, there would have to be a crucifixion. And there was a purpose, a great purpose, in the crucifixion of Christ. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 27, the Bible says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. When they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. When they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there." I want you to look down to verse 45 now. "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?' Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, they said, 'This man calleth for Elias.' And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come to save him.' Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we do bow before you tonight, again, we thank you, Lord God, for the great services that we've already had this day. Thank you for answered prayer. Thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for speaking to us and revealing things to us that we, each and every one, needed to have revealed to draw closer to you. And now I pray, God, even tonight, as we preach on this passage of Scripture here, I just pray that you'd help us to have a better understanding of why the crucifixion. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. And that's what I want to preach on tonight, is just why. Why was Jesus crucified? I would pretty much guess that most believers here would be able to give me an understanding of why Jesus was crucified. I think that all of us would be able to say, well, He paid our sin debt on Calvary's cross. There had to be the shedding of blood. There had to be death paid for the wages of sin. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so in order for Jesus to offer eternal life, then he would have to pay the sin debt of all that he would offer eternal life to, which would be all humanity. Many would know that. Many would say something similar to that. You might not use the very same words, but many would understand. I believe that's why the Lord's Supper is for all believers to remember. As God has given it to us, and he has given to us the churches, the local New Testament churches, all around the world. And one of the ordinances that Christ established for the local New Testament church, there's two. One was baptism. Without the church, you don't have the power and the authority to baptize new converts. But as you have Jesus Christ as the head of the body, which is the church, then you have the authority, because of the head of the church is Christ, then you have the authority of God to baptize believers. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. That was the first ordinance. The second ordinance that Jesus established before he went to the cross was the Lord's Supper. And he established it for them to remember what he had done for them. Wow. It's for all believers to remember. In verse 35 of Matthew chapter 27, this is what the Bible says, and they crucified him, parting his garments, casting lots. But this is what I want you to see, that it might be fulfilled. There was something that was predetermined. This was something that God had planned. The only way to redeem humanity after the fall of Adam, the only way to redeem mankind was for this to take place. And everything about the Old Testament was pointing to the coming of the Messiah. Even though the church and many of what was taking place in dwelling of the Holy Spirit, and even the fact that the Messiah would have to die and go and be buried and be in the grave for 3 days, it was somewhat a mystery in the Old Testament, although even the prophets of the Old Testament prophesied that this would take place, proving that it was not man's design, it was not man's plan, it was Almighty God's plan for humanity to have an opportunity to be redeemed, to be saved. Part of God's plan. The Old Testament saints look forward to the coming of the Messiah. Jesus, as he came, he presented it to his disciples. He presented the fact that he would go to the cross and he would be in the grave for 3 days and three nights. And he told them ahead of time, but after that, I will resurrect. Today, we are to look back and remember. The ordinance of what Jesus established and what he gave the church, something that we have been doing now for the last 2,000 years as a New Testament church in this New Testament church age. The true church has been fulfilling these two ordinances ever since. And we have continued to look back and remember what Jesus did for us. So why was Jesus crucified? Four things I want to give you that you need to understand. First of all, it was predetermined. It was not something the church came up with. It was not something the New Testament saints came up with. It was not new even that Jesus presented. He was presenting what was already prophesied, and it was a fulfilling of what had already been prophesied because it was predetermined. In Matthew chapter 16, look there with me. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, we find that Jesus made his disciples aware of this. Verse 21, the Bible says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders. We just read much of what he suffered. And chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. So we find here that Jesus himself realized it was predetermined, and now he is sharing this, and he's presenting this to the disciples. This is going to take place in Acts in chapter 2. Acts in chapter 2, it helps us to see this very clearly. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22 down to verse 24. If I go too fast for you, write these verses down. Go home tonight and study them. But Acts in chapter 2, verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Those at the time knew that Jesus was not any ordinary man. They realized that he was born of a virgin. Mary knew that. Joseph knew that. That he had proclaimed to be the very Son of God. He had healed the sick. He had allowed the lame to walk. He even resurrected the dead, brought them back to life again in Lazarus and others. He was performing miracles, and he was doing things that no mortal man could do. And so we find here that in the book of Acts in chapter 2, it says, you know, this has taken place. Performed many miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that it should be holden, that he should be holden of it. Couldn't hold him in the grave. Yeah. Why? Because he was God. But it was determined by the counsel and foreknowledge of God. So what was that? It was predetermined. Everything about this New Testament church age was predetermined. It was part of God's plan from the foundations of the world to offer humanity an opportunity to be redeemed. Jesus' part in the crucifixion was voluntary. It was voluntary. In John in chapter 4. In verse 34. The Bible says in verse 34, Jesus said unto them, my meat, what sustains me? Because they was wondering how's coming, what needing, and they was trying to get him eating. He says, my meat, or what sustains me, is to do the will of him that sent me. The reason Jesus was here was to do the will of him that sent him and to finish his work. He had mentioned to his own mother and father here on this earth, his earthly mother, Mary and Joseph, when they was going back home and realized that they had lost Jesus, and they went back and they found him there and amazing all that was around him. And he said, wish you not that I must be about my father's business. Wasn't talking about Joseph. They knew better than that. He was talking about God Almighty. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing from the very moment that he came into existence in this world. The very moment that God's seed became alive in the womb of Mary. And as he was born, there was never a time that Jesus did not know who he was and why he came. And it was all voluntary. It was not only predetermined. God's plan of salvation was predetermined. Not who is going to be saved. That was not predetermined. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The world is all humanity. And whosoever will means that anyone and everyone that would just simply believe and receive could be saved. So that was not predetermined who is going to be saved. God did not say, well, you are destined for salvation and you're destined for a place in a devil's hell. He did not say that. He says, I love humanity to the extent that I'm going to send my only begotten Son, and whoever will believe in him can have everlasting eternal life. But the plan was predetermined. How we were going to receive eternal life was predetermined. That's why Jesus came. And it was voluntary. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Verse 17 and 18. came to do the will of the Father. Here he says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. He knew who he was. He knew he was the very Son of God. He knew who he was. And he says, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. It's voluntary. Not only did God the Father love us so much, he was willing to send his only begotten Son. His only begotten Son loved us enough to come to die for us. Not only was it predetermined, not only was it voluntary, but it was substitutionary. He died in our stead. The song says, I should have hung on the cross. And how true that is. Because we deserve it. We have sin. We have a sin nature. He had no sin. But he paid a price that we owe. And couldn't pay. It was substitutionary. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Not going to be long here tonight, but I want you to get this. I want you to understand this. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, verse 21. The Bible says, for he hath made him, God hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Righteousness might be imputed into us through the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to get it any other way, because there's none righteous, no, not one. But when you receive Jesus Christ, his righteousness is imputed into you. What a blessing that is to understand. Romans in chapter 5, the Bible says in Romans in chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He came to do the will of the Father. He came to fulfill the plan of God. He came to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies. He came for one purpose in mind, is to be that sacrificial lamb. He came to pay my sin. The debt I owed, couldn't pay. He died for us. I need to know that he died for all humanity. There's a doctrine out there that says, no, he only died for a certain elect. That is so not true if you understand the Bible. I need to know that he died for the sins of the whole world, that he died for all, and all whosoever will can be saved. But even more important than that, I need to know that if I was the only one in need of a Savior, Jesus would have died for me. He wants you to make it personal. Amen. He wants you to look at God and make it personal. He wants you to see yourself as one of God's children, as God being your heavenly Father, as Jesus being your Savior, and the Holy Spirit of God being your Comforter. What a blessing it is when we can acknowledge that and be helped by that. The last thing tonight, it was predetermined, it was voluntary, it was substitutionary, and then as we've already alluded to, it was redemptive. The only way that we could be redeemed was through God's plan. Galatians in chapter 4. Galatians in chapter 4. Galatians in chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, only God knew when he would send his son. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you are, if you will, adopted into the family of God. And then he goes on to say, because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, The Holy Spirit of God comes and dwells within us. The moment you get saved, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And from that point forward, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God starts leading you to glorify the Father. He starts leading you to understand more about your Savior. Comes into our hearts and he cries, Abba, Father. Wow. Ephesians in chapter 1. Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 7. The Bible says this, in whom we have redemption, redeemed. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Outside of the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. There is no salvation. There is no other plan for eternal life. If there was any other way, then Jesus would have been crucified in vain. If there was any other way. But there was no other way. And praise the Lord that we remember back at the sacrifice that was made for us. In our text, the Bible says in verse 35 that it might be fulfilled. By the end of the crucifixion, all that were there, all that witnessed what had taken place, even the Roman soldier said this, truly, this was the Son of God. They all knew that they had witnessed a supernatural event. And they knew this has had to be the very Son of God. The Lord's Supper, as we have been given the instructions of the Lord's Supper, is for us who have received Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior to remember why. And I trust tonight that you will remember why. And it will be more meaningful to you than possibly ever before. In just a few minutes, we're going to give instructions and then we'll be passing out communion. There's a warning attached to this. If you have not been saved, if you are not walking with God, if there's sin in your life, unconfessed sin in your life that you're not willing to give it, don't take of the Lord's Supper. Before we have that opportunity, I'm going to have an invitation tonight. Maybe you just need to come. Remember why. And thank God for what He's done for you. The sacrifice on the cross. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed.